The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Isaiah chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. It'll be familiar. You'll hear it and you'll say, "Oh, yes. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." This is Bert Harper along with Dr. Alex McFarland, and we're going through the book of Isaiah. What a treat this will be. What a challenge it will be. 66 chapters, and we're going through it, looking forward to it. And here we find a very familiar passage. And as Alex says quite often, these are some of the verses that have become commonplace. And when we say commonplace, it doesn't mean they're common. It's God's word. But they're spoken, and a lot of times people don't even know they're repeating scripture. Well, again, let's dig into God's word today. Alex, yes. Today's a special day. It's a day of prayer. It's Veterans Day.
Yes.
November the 11th. It's a good day, isn't it?
Well, it is. And Bert, it's great to be on with you and great to be in Isaiah chapter 1. And hey, I bid you greetings from Knoxville, Tennessee. I just had the great privilege of being in a high school talking to young people about America. And an event today and one tomorrow scheduled by Turning Point USA. And just very honored and got over here to the place I'm staying tonight. And so anyway, I appreciate everybody's prayers, because one of the things that I hear from as I talk with listeners or they email or Facebook message, they say, "We love the show, and you and Bert and Alex, we pray for you as you travel." And I had a great meeting today talking to some young people about God and country.
Amen. Well, I was at a service today in a local school, recognizing the veterans, and it was so good to be there to see those children honoring the veterans as they walked in to cheers and hearing what God was doing, and yes, praising the Lord for our land, the good old USA, and we do thank Amen. God for that, and we're hoping all our veterans out there, we appreciate you. Thank you for what you have done. Many of you are still serving, what you are doing. And we want to say thank you in a big way today. Well, Amen. Alex, again, chapter 1. We started out chapter 1. It's interesting. Isaiah's call, he doesn't go over it until chapter 6. But what he does in chapter 1, he introduces that it's more like a court, and he brings the charges against the people. And now in verse 16, it's the clemency. He said, "Now you're guilty. But if you will do certain things, you will see a different judgment." Because his words here says it. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Alex, willing and obedient. That's the whole issue, isn't it? Are we going to do that, or are we going to refuse and rebel? Is that the two alternatives?
Well, that's the criteria, isn't it? We are able to obey. Any of us could obey the Lord. The question is, are we willing? And yes, will, human free will, is part of it. I think in all of life, God offers us the right way, but he doesn't force us. And that's part of what it means to have a relationship with God. We have to choose to obey the Lord, don't we?
We really do. And again, I read that, but I also want to read verses 16 and 17 that precede that, and then you'll see all that it says, what will happen if they don't. But it says, "Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean." This is 1:16. "Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. reprove the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. Notice what Amen. This is. This is things that go on inside of you and the way you operate and treat others that you're around. This is evidence of being what? Willing and obedient. And so he's gone through, if you remember what we did yesterday, he said, you've gone through all these sacrifices, offering them. You've had new moons and feasts and all of that. I don't, and I'm not impressed with that. Matter of fact, he says, my soul hates it, is what he said in verse 14 about that. But notice mm-hmm. what he loves. And if you want to look at the list, look at verse 16. That's quite a list that we need to kind of examine ourselves to see, hey, what kind of people are we, Alex?
Well, and later on in the chapter, we're going to see the role leaders play. But yes, you know, wash, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do well. And you know what? Ceasing from evil is an event. Growing, learning to do well is a journey. And let me say, learning to hear the voice of God, making new habits. You know, the Wesleys talked about habits of holiness. You know, verse 17 here, learn to do well, seek judgment or justice, you know, delight in what is true. Relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. And of course, here is, like all good evangelists, and Isaiah is an evangelist in many ways, the prophet here, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Bert, it's almost like a call to action. Verse 18 is like, okay, you've heard the message, now respond.
It is, Alex. Now, notice the difference. In chapter 1, verse 2, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. Okay? Now, here, again, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Now, the same people he was speaking to here in chapter 1 is the same people. So he's brought the charges, and now he said, this is what I expect, this is what you know, and I am wanting you to know this. Reason together. Think this through. Listen, God says, this is not God agreeing with man, Alex. Is this man agreeing to God? You catch the difference?
Well, that's what it is, yes. Yes, we have to agree with God. And, you know, that's part of what repentance is, Bert, you know, to turn, you know, to do a 180, but it's also to agree with God about God's assessment of our spiritual condition.
It
you know,
is.
Lord, I admit you're right. I am a sinner, and I need your grace. And so, yes, we are to agree with God. And back to the element of choice, if you read it, but it's worth repeating. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now, and there's kind of a, Bert, in my Bible, there's almost like a paragraph mark, because verse 21 is going to sort of turn a corner. But here's the thing. Sin brings judgment. Vance Havner said this, that we sow to the wind and we pray for a crop failure. The fact that sin brings painful repercussions, that doesn't mean that God is cruel. In fact, God is very patient and merciful. But the thing is, God is holy. And Bert, as a holy God, isn't it just he is bound to uphold righteousness and judge sin?
He is, Alex, and just talking about it does change over in verse 21. And this is what you do in Isaiah's writings. He'll lay it out on the line, what they're doing wrong, and then right in the middle of that, he'll give one of the promises of God, if you are. And I believe this is a perfect setting to start out with. I believe this is one of the reasons God wanted him to have this message preached before he even talked about his calling. Because this is God operating toward us. Come now. Hear those words. Come. He wants us to come. You remember, you come into the ark. Come unto me, and I'll give you rest. So come to him, and you'll see who he is. But you've got to come on his terms. And then verses 21 through 31, it really makes the statement, and you said it earlier, about leaders and where they're going, and it is it was full of justice at one time, but no longer. Your princes, I'm just reading a little bit of this at the top of each one, Alex. Look at verse 23. Your princes are rebellious, your companions are thieves. Everyone loves bribes. You can look at that. It says here, that therefore the Lord says, the Lord of hosts, the mighty of Israel, I will rid myself of my adversaries and take vengeance on my enemies. I'll turn my hand against you and thoroughly purge away your dross and take away all your alloy. Now, this is what God wants. He goes, this is it, but this is what I'll do if you do that. I know this is Old Testament. Have you ever heard Isaiah is more like a New Testament preacher than an Old Testament? And you catch this when he is pleading with them to come back. Do you catch why someone would say that?
Absolutely. It's been said that on at least five occasions, in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 11, chapter 40, and chapter 55. I was thinking about chapter 55. Bert, one of the very first sermons I ever put together when I was in seminary was on Isaiah 55, where it says, whoever's thirsty, come to the waters, and let he who has no money come and find bread. But there's at least five gospel invitations in the book of Isaiah,
yeah,
and yet this was 7 centuries before the birth of Christ.
It is. Again, trying to go through it without as much detail because it would take us forever. I love that. Again, verse 26. Zart, if I read that.
Please.
I will restore your judges as at the first and your counselors as at the beginning. Afterward, you shall be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Now, again, compare that to verse 21. This is what I want to do, and it tells
yes.
you the faith. How the faithful city has become a harlot. This is what you've done with what I've given you, but I'll restore this glory if you'll turn to me in obedience. Alex, what a sermon, okay?
Yeah.
Isaiah's pouring his heart out, isn't he?
Well, you know, for just a minute, and I don't mean to dwell on something very negative, but I mean, you think about a harlot or a prostitute, and when Israel, that is, you know, the people of God, raised up the seed of Abraham, through whom will come not only the entire Old Testament scriptures, but Jesus Christ, you can call it falling away, apostasy, but a harlot is one who has betrayed their morals, their marriage, the welfare. I mean, there are a lot of sins in harlotry, and there's a lot of sin when the people of God turn away from not only the Word, but God Himself. And we've got a break, and we'll talk about this more perhaps.
We will, and we'll come back, finish chapter 1, go into chapter 2. He introduces a second sermon. Get ready. It's powerful as well. We'll be right back.
We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
Why should I feel discouraged? Or why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely? away from heaven and home.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. The great Ethel Waters with that famous song, His Eyes on the Sparrow, one of my favorite songs. Not Bert, not just favorite gospel songs, but just one of my favorite songs, period.
Especially when she sings it. Now, exactly. The song is good on its own, and I've heard others sing it. But when Ethel Waters did that, I want to tell you, it's in a whole different category. And if you could see her, I watched it many times on the Billy Graham when they would broadcast that. And even as a kid, when Ethel Waters would sing that song, it got my attention.
Amen.
And praise the Lord. We had someone to tell us right in and says we need to give a warning when we get that song sung because tears comes in their eyes and they had to pull over to the side of the road. So I hope you're safe after hearing the opening of that song. Go ahead, Alex.
Well, and I know we're in Isaiah, but I got to say, I love that refrain. It says, I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eyes on the sparrow. And I know he cares for me.
Wow. What a line.
Jesus puts a song in our heart. Well, we're in Isaiah. And before the break, I was talking about in verse 21, how the faithful city has become a harlot. Now, prostitution is just so grievous because it's immoral. There are vows broken to oneself, to one's family, to others, but it's ultimately broken vows before Almighty God. And Bert, I think about, you know, obviously Israel lapsing into idolatry and sin, and we see patterns and cycles of that throughout the Old Testament. But I think about even now, churches and denominations, oh my Lord, endorsing homosexuality, gay marriage, transgenderism, wokeness. Some denominations have, years ago there was a term, Chrislam, the meshing of Christianity and Islam. And Bert, I want to say this. We might read Isaiah and think, boy, Israel sure was backslidden. There's Protestant denominations that are no better.
You're exactly right. You're just talking about them and Eastern religions. I'm jumping ahead, but in chapter 2, verse 6, it says, because you're filled with Eastern ways. Mm. It's always, in other words, it creeps in and it comes in incrementally. And I accept that. That means we have to accept this. If we accept this, we need to accept this. Where does it stop? It does not unless you turn from your wicked ways and return to the Lord. And that's what he's telling them to do, to turn to me, and I will restore you as you were meant to be. God wants you to live with his intent because his intent for you is good. God's plan for you is good, but he does not succumb to use demands on him. He wants you to come to him freely and trust him. And I pray that those who are listening, that if you haven't done that, you would turn to the Lord right now and ask him to forgive you of your ways and your sin and ask him to come into your life because he did pay the price on the cross. Amen. And this is what Isaiah, listen, this is future preaching about what God was going to do one day to take care of our sin. Amen. This is a picture of it. I'll restore. Alex, that's what he wants to do in our lives, to give us that original intent for us to follow him.
I want to say this, and I know we need to move on perhaps, but over the weekend, Bert, like I said yesterday, I had the great privilege of being in front of 1,100 teenagers, and it was fantastic. And during the Q&A time, you know, a time or two, they said, you know, what's the secret to staying with the Lord and thriving as a Christian? And I said, look, and I told the audience, I said, the difference between the Christian life that thrives and the Christian that falls away or hot and cold, up and down, you know, obviously you need to pray every day and walk with the Lord. But I held up my Bible and I said, this will make the difference between whether or not you become what Christ calls you to be or you fall away farther and farther. The role of Scripture in your life. And I want to challenge every one of you. I said to these teens, but I said to everyone listening, and myself included, take the Bible, the Holy Word of God, and purpose in your heart that you will believe and internalize and live by and stand for God's Word. And I gave a talk, Bert, back in June at the AFA Activate Summit. It was a great honor to be there. But I was talking about the different trends, how, you know, professed Christians, they want to slice and dice, and, well, we accept the words of Christ, but not the words of Paul, and we believe this in the gospel, but not that. And, I mean, there have been some famous high-profile Christians. After 20 centuries, the church accepted the Bible as written. Suddenly, in the 21st century, different segments of professed Christians, they want to say, well, you know, we're going to omit this or that part. Folks, I would say this, everything I've ever researched, all the writing I've done, scholars I've interviewed, everything I've studied for three decades has validated and corroborated my conviction decades ago. The Bible is the Word of God, and what the Bible says must be where I stand. And Bert, I guess if there's anything, and I know you would concur, that we would shout from the rooftops to American Christendom, we would cry out from the core of our convictions, believe the Bible God has given us.
Amen. And when you do, you will reap the benefits. And he talks about those benefits. Restoration takes place when you do what? You're willing and you obey. It's similar to trust and obey, for there's no other way. So we trust him. Now, Alex, again, verse 27, Zion shall be redeemed with justice. Again, how you like those words? Restore, redeemed.
Redeemed, yes.
Man, this is what God's heart is for people, for Christians, for cities, for countries, to restore and redeem. The destruction of the transgressors and of sinners shall be together, and those who forsake the Lord shall be consumed. That's the whole idea. And the rest of it will show you that. And notice, it will happen. And the guess why I know this, Alex? The Lord has spoken it. And that's Amen. What he says again and again. This is what Isaiah says. The Lord has spoken it.
Yes. Amen. Well, you know, it talks in verse 28, 29 about oak trees that have fallen and been desired but destroyed. You shall be confounded for the gardens that you have chosen. They've not fruitful, nutritious gardens, but they're in the wrong garden. For you shall be as an oak whose leaf fades, and as a garden that hath no water. In other words, the drought and the famine of God's word. And the strong shall be as tow, T-O-W, and the maker of it as a spark, and they shall both burn together, and none shall quench them. The word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. So it's pretty, in chapter 1 here, it's going to be this way for 12 chapters, Judah and Jerusalem, their sins are bringing some pretty strong condemnation, but they, as we say down south, they got it honest. I mean, the charges are valid, aren't they?
They really are. Notice chapter 1, verse 1, the vision of Isaiah. That's the first one. Now, the word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. So this is a different one, and this is going to last chapter 2, all the way through chapter 4. And it's a second message that we have of Isaiah preaching. And notice, and it's going to be here. Here it is in verse 2. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days. This is the time when there's going to be peace on earth. And you'll get some very familiar passages here in verses 2 all the way through 6 or 5. You'll see that. But then, and I'm not skipping over this, I'm just bringing it as an introduction. Alex kind of have an overview of it. Verse 8, 6 changes. For you have forsaken your people and the house of Jacob because they're filled with eastern ways, the soothsayers. They are pleased with the children of foreigners. In other words, the latter days are coming. There's mm-hmm. going to be a time when the temple, and this is what it's referring to, the temple is going to be the centerpiece of society. But listen, while that's in the future, right now, going back to what it said in verse chapter 1, they're playing the harlot once again in this message. And there's yes. some repeated things that you want to look at. And if you read this, mark the day of the Lord, the day yes. or in that day, it's repeated again and again. So, and Alex, if I understand it right, it's a day of judgment that he's talking about.
Now, you know what's interesting is that Micah 4 is very much like Isaiah 2. But the thing is, like you mentioned yesterday, Isaiah and Micah were men of God that lived during the same time period. They were contemporaries, weren't they?
They were.
And so God was speaking through them. I mean, you know, and you know, nowadays, although it's not scripture, but, you know, if you listen to David Jeremiah and Adrian Rogers and Billy Graham, I mean, their messages are very much the same. And so the Spirit of God works through the voice, the mouthpieces that are willing to be used. And the latter days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and be exalted above the hills, all nations shall flow to it. Bert, it kind of reminds me almost of when Habakkuk says that the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. You know, that day is coming. It's not there now. But many people will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. Bert, there in Isaiah 2, verse 3, God will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. That should still be the desire of the human heart, shouldn't it?
It really should be. Now, what you have here is something that's going to happen in the latter days, but it's a desire. And Alex, you pinned it just right. We who are followers of Christ, we're living that now. It is teaching us his ways. We want to know his ways, and we demonstrate it. When you turn over the New Testament, Paul told Timothy, you teach these men who will teach others. I've taught you, you teach them, and they teach. How do you do that? Teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. It's not enough to know, Alex. It's what? Not just hearers of the word, but what James said, be what? Doers of the word. Do you get that in verse 3 when it says he will teach us his ways and we shall walk in his paths?
Yes, amen. And it's coming. Do you know, it's been said that the church, you know, the body of believers banded together for the purpose of world evangelization, it is the kingdom of God here on earth. Now, it's coming, and like it says in Isaiah 2 here and Psalm 72, that the mountain of the Lord will bring righteousness to the world. A pervasive, thoroughly godly earth is coming. We're not there yet. But Bert, every church, like my friend Chuck Colson would say, we are like the little platoons of God's soldiers. The group of believers worshiping in the little country church on Sunday morning, that's the kingdom of God, isn't it?
Amen. It is.
On earth already.
Hey, and a lot of folks are still in those small rural churches, and a lot of them are struggling because people are saying, oh, we want to go something that's got bigger and better. But listen, I want to just tell you, if you're where God's Spirit is moving, his word is being proclaimed, and that church is on mission for God, you are at a great church. no matter the size, Alex, that is a great church, and you need to put everything you have in it and serve the Lord. We got a minute. I've just got to read verse 4, okay?
Yes.
He shall judge between the nations and shall rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. God, there's going to be a day. There's going to be a day when that takes place. It's not here, but God's return, the day of the Lord, he'll have judgment, and then there's going to be that great day of the Lord when we are being able to not learn war anymore. Alex,
yes.
That is something that man has wanted, never received, but God's going to bring it in.
You know, that Bible verse is used somewhere at the United Nations, the UN. I don't know exactly where because I've not been there. But the thing is, so much of globalist, woke, leftist ideals, there will never be peace on earth without the Prince of Peace.
Amen.
You know, they want the outcome without the avenue. I mean, we want peace and salvation, but it only comes through the Savior, Jesus Christ.
Today's the day of prayer. That means we make it a priority. You can ask your questions, but prayers are vital. And that number, 888-589-8840.
A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not extinguish. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow weak or discouraged before he has established justice on the earth. In his law, the islands will put their hope. Isaiah 42, 3 and 4.
American Family Radio.
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love. Dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are.
Amen. Thank you, Chris Tomlin. I love that song. Especially for those out there that may have had a dad that deserted them, a dad that was not providing, abusive, difficult, and hard. Listen, God's a good, good father. He loves you. He cares for you. He is a good, good father. And I love that song. Alex, talking about, you know, provision, one of the things that AFR does is work with Samaritan's Purse, with Operation Christmas Child. And we take this opportunity here to promote it, asking all of those who are listening to get that shoebox, fill it with those different things, toys, toiletries, and the, you know, school supplies that would help children, and be a part of that. And the gospel is right there. It's presented to the children by people who have been trained to share the gospel with children, and it goes over 100 countries and territories, and they're looking at 12.6 million shoeboxes to go out in 2025. They're well on their way, but we need more. And so we're saying to you, if you want to be a part of that, get that shoebox. And if you need to know more information, you can go to SamaritansPurse.org/OCC, SamaritansPurse.org/OCC, to learn more about it and where to drop off your shoebox if your church is not collecting. Alex,
you know, Bert,
great opportunity. Yes, go ahead.
I was on the Samaritan's Purse website. By the way, as I'm sure everybody knows, but fantastic ministry, Samaritan's Purse. And they've given away, I think it was something like 232 million shoeboxes to 170 countries over the years. And there are 4,700 drop-off locations throughout America, and you can find the nearest drop-off location near you, and you won't have to go far. And I just think this is a great, great way to put a smile on the face of a child, but also it will bring the gospel of Jesus Christ into many young lives, and very often entire families come to Christ, don't they, Brooke?
They really do, and then they can follow up with the greatest journey in discipleship. The Bible says, make disciples. You're not just looking for somebody to be converted. You're looking for them to be in Christ and become like Christ in discipleship. So Operation Christmas Child, they do the whole deal. We thank God for that. That number, and we've got lines that are open today, 888-589-8840. It's a day of prayer, but you may have a Bible question. We do our best to work those in as well. But that number again, 888-589-8840. And first, before we go to the first caller in just a moment, pray for our veterans and thank God for them. But we know a lot of them are still struggling. I've heard of so many that struggle with all the things they've gone through, especially if they were in battle. Many of them are homeless, and there's a lot of people trying to do something about that, and we thank God for them. So be praying for our veterans and thank God for them. Well, let's first go to Dennis in Mississippi. Dennis, thank you for calling.
I would like to ask for prayer for a three-week-old baby girl named Evie, who was diagnosed with a very rare genetic disorder and sent home on hospice, and a prayer for her and her family, please.
Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness. 3-week-old Evie, E-V-I-E, I guess. Is that right, Dennis?
That's right.
Okay. Listen, pray for her parents. We don't know the whole situation, and I can say this as a grandparent. We pray. They are involved in it as well. Well, we're going to pray for Evie. We want you to join us. And if you have prayer request or question, you can call in 888-589-8840. Alex, would you mind praying for Evie?
Let's do that. Heavenly Father, we bow before you, so grateful for prayer. And Lord, you have a plan for every life. And this little three-week-old life matters, a child created in your image, but sent home, not a lot of hope. Lord, we know you can do miracles, and we would ask for that, that your will would be done. But in the life of Evie and her family, Lord, may they feel your presence, your comfort, and your strength. And Lord, when we have no strength of our own, you will be our strength in every situation. Lord, we lift up this life to you. We praise you for this young life. And Lord, we praise you for the outcome of these medical issues. Bless this family in this situation in Jesus' name, and for his glory we pray. Amen.
Amen. Dennis, thank you for calling that in. That just grips your heart. I was talking this morning to my wife and our grandson, Andrew, and we were talking about some things that are hard to understand, and wanted to know about what question is one of the most difficult questions, and mine was the heartache of children like this. It really is. I trust the Lord, but I don't have all the answers. I just know I trust him, and he knows what we're doing. Alex, one real quick question that was said to you, and you answered it, but I wanted to expand it just a little bit because we got people calling in. Your question about staying with the Lord and not breaking off. The Bible says renew each and every day. It's not something that you go week by week on Sundays. It's renewed day by day. And the other one that lets me, his eyes, keep your eye on the goal. You know, we gaze at the finish. We glance at things surrounding us. If we start gazing at things surrounding us, we'll be like Peter when he was walking on the water, when his eyes was on Jesus and gazing on him, he was above water. When he started gazing at the problems and the storms around him is when he sank. So listen, stay with him and do it every morning. Renew every morning. Alex, isn't that a great thought that we to do that?
That's true. And there's so many verses, you know, many verses talk about trusting God. And we'll get to Isaiah 12, one of my favorite verses, and I'll elaborate further perhaps when we get there. But it says in Isaiah 12:2, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation." Amen. Isaiah 12:2. And you know, even if we don't understand the circumstance, we can understand God in as much as He does all things well. He does all things righteously for our good and His glory. And God will not abandon you, and God certainly will not do anything evil or wrong. He's a holy God. And even if we, like Spurgeon often said, even if we don't understand, we just throw ourselves in the arms of the Lord who does all things well.
We cannot, when we don't understand His hand, we can trust His heart. We really can. Well, let's go to Larry in Alabama. Larry, thank you for calling today. Do you have a prayer request, brother?
My wife found out last week that she's got a spot on her lung. This will be the third time that she's had cancer. She had cancer in her kidney way back, and then she went in remission, and then she had cancer again a few years back, and it was in her intestines, and she had to have surgery, and she's been going to the cancer center now for, you know, 4 years or so, and every 2 weeks getting treatment and everything, and then she had an x-ray, and now they found a spot on her lung, so I would appreciate it. And also, I thank you very much. I hope someday I can meet you. I just enjoy being educated by you both, and thank you very much.
Larry, thank you. What do you, if you're still there, do you mind giving us your wife's first name?
Yeah, Edith,
E-A-D-I-T-H. It helps. Lord always knows, but I love to do that. Alex, is all right if I pray for Edith.
Yeah, lead us.
Father, thank you for Larry being a loving husband. And sounds like he and Edith has gone through it the last years with cancer. It's a difficult battle. I've seen it so many times. And right now, in the third time of going through this, Father, we're praying that you would help her, strengthen her. I thank you for the past of what has done to deliver her. But, Father, I say again, Father, touch her life. Heal her the way you want to, using the medications, the treatment, or touch her life. Father, all healing is from you. And I thank you for a husband like Larry that obviously cares and loves his wife. And the Bible talks about we're to love our wives the way Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I sense that in Larry's voice. And I pray, God, that you would help him. Thank you for him listening and growing in you, Father. And that's, we want people to grow in you, not to just talk about how much we know or how I didn't know that. Father, our ultimate goal is for them to know the Lord and follow him and do his will and share it with others. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Larry. Let's go to Oklahoma, and it's Kenny. Kenny, thank you for calling.
Bert and Alex, talk to you again. I have some special spoken requests I hope that you will pray for. And can I ask a very quick question?
Go right ahead.
Sure.
Okay. We know true Christians love Jewish people, love the Jews, and we love Israel. Tucker Carlson a hater of the Jewish people. Has Turning Point USA removed Tucker from their speaking engagements?
Alex, you'll have to answer that. I know what he's talking about, Tucker. And I'll just say this, he's dead wrong. They're right about a lot of things, and he is, but he's wrong about that. Alex, have you heard if they've disengaged him or still there?
I don't think they have. But yes, and I was on Today's Issues last week, and Tim Wildman and Ed Vitagliano and I talked about this at length. And Tucker Carlson is categorically wrong about Israel. And, it seems like that the Tucker Carlson from the Fox News days was different than the Tucker Carlson today. I think we need to pray for him. But yes, we stand, and I believe it's biblical, but we stand with and for the nation of Israel, and we categorically stand against anti-Semitism.
We do, and we pray that Tucker would understand that and come around. That's a good prayer request. But Kenny, you had a prayer request as well, am I right?
Yes, sir. Some especially three unspoken requests for me.
Okay, brother. God knows what it is, and y'all, what you want to do, you prayer warriors, write Kenny down and say, Lord, he needs you. So we want to do that. Well, this is the calls we've got in, and I think this is good, Alex, because we can talk a little bit about veterans. And I know you spoke to the high school students or students today concerning that, and let's talk about that a minute. Share a little bit about that and make this a prayer request for our country and praying for our Army, our veterans. Go ahead, Alex.
Well, you know, Bert, Sunday afternoon I was driving from a youth event to a Christian church, and I went through Fayetteville, North Carolina. I know we have listeners there right now. You and I did 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah.
We did a rally in front of, I don't know how many thousands of people. Do you remember that?
At least they said there was 2,500 there. Could have been more.
But there's a veterans hospital in Fayetteville, and every time I ever drive past it, I just say a prayer. And the sign out front in front of the VA hospital in Fayetteville, it's actually a beautiful, beautiful old building, but it says, the price of freedom is visible here. Mm. And I've met a number of those veterans, and they've, for decades after having served, many carry the wounds of war. And I just think about it, folks. Listen, number one thing in life is to know Jesus and be a Christian. And that's, salvation is a blessing, of course. But I want to tell you the blessing of being born in the United States of America. And as they say, freedom isn't free. And you and I are here, the beneficiaries of liberty, because of many, many men and women that have put on the uniform of our venerated armed forces, and how we thank God for the veterans serving in many, many capacities. But Bert, every time I see veterans, and you know, I've been in many a church where they'll play the salute to the armed forces, you know,
yeah,
the different,
yeah,
and I get a lump in my throat.
Amen. I did this morning when I was at that veterans recognition. They sang that and had each the veterans that were there to stand when their anthem was played. And every time they'd stand, they'd get that applause and cheers.
Amen. Thank God for our freedom, and thank God for the veterans who put their life on the line to preserve that freedom.
Amen. Again, thank you for listening to Exploring the Word. We are so privileged to be able to open the Word of God. We're going to continue in the book of Isaiah. We'll start in chapter 2, and we're going to move a little faster, but this was so important to get it nailed down how to begin. So we want you to enjoy God's Word. Tell someone about Exploring the Word and the American Family Radio Network and all the programming and all the ministries that we have, but more importantly than anything, is tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ, what he's done for you, and what he will do for them. Thank you for listening.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
We'd like to thank Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day, their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.